Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Rainer's Radio, practical training for joint heirs with Christ, with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good evening, and welcome to Rainer's Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host, and we've been talking about challenges to knowing and hearing from God. And I want to just start by addressing a question that's come up about how we kind of seem to focus on what may be considered to be the negative challenges and looking at problems and the negative aspects of our walk with Christ. And that is a great observation, and how we want to address it, and it's not even so much a matter of balance, but of reality. And we're going to go into that with a little bit more depth, but first, just step back and look at how you learn, how any of us learn. We try things and they don't work, or they do work. And that's, we know how to do something because we've done it in the past. And what we try to do here is focus on learning. Not just being taught, not just understanding or even believing, but doing, very practically speaking, so that we do address, hopefully, both sides, the issue. How, what it looks like, you know, to know God, why we want to know Him, but also these are some specific issues that you're going to have to deal with. And we do spend a lot of time on that. And one of the reasons we spend a lot of time on the challenges and problems and what can be considered negative is that most ministries or Christian outlets don't deal with that. There's even this idea out there that, you know, thinking and speaking negatively makes negative happen. All we're doing is describing something that is happening so we can bring it into the light and learn from it. We have that example of God being the potter and we are the clay. Well, it takes two hands to be a good potter, the right hand of blessing and the left hand of correction. And if we are going to be a finished product worthy of knowing Him in our soul, you know, again, we already know Him in our spirit, we want to be not just flexible and malleable, formable, but also understand that it's going to take both the blessing and the correction in our lives. It's going to take the bitter and the sweet in your life. We very often do have this idea and are sometimes taught that if you are in the will of God, everything will go right for you. And that's just not true. And that's an unfair expectation to put on people. We look at our prime example of a pattern of someone who is in the will of God, and yet things happen to him. And that's Jesus himself. And how many examples do we know? The scriptures are full of examples of those who were in the will of God, and yet, quote unquote, bad things, unpleasant things, things they would have rather avoided, happened. And we try to come up with, okay, this is testing, you know, he's testing my faith, he's qualifying me for the next thing. And there's a lot of different reasons things happen. A lot of times, it's just because we exist on this earth. We are not above, for instance, our natural being. Your body is part of this natural earth and abides by natural laws. Your soul exists in the supernatural or solical realm and abides by the solical law. And in both of those areas, we have things that happen, sometimes that are good and sometimes that are bad. And to try to elevate or exclude one or the other, you know, some, you know, well, I want to, you know, there's a variety of approaches to this. Some people, Christians, take the approach that, you know, I want to get through experiencing all the negative I can, so in the next life, now it's all good. Or vice versa. You know, if I am in the perfect will of God, nothing bad will ever happen to me. Well, there's just so many issues that are raised there. The whole idea of what's next and the whole idea of being in the will of God. In your spirit, you are permanently in the will of God. That's not a problem. Part of the issue is that will God put us in a situation that we can't handle? And the answer is absolutely, intentionally, deliberately. He puts us in situations that we can't handle. And I know that throws a lot of people off because they refer to that God, you know, the scripture that God will never put you in a situation that you can't handle. But that's not what that scripture says. It says he will never put you into temptation, not a situation. Those are two different things. We're not going to get caught up into that, but that's one of the challenges we have is every situation we want to ask God, is there something here you're trying to teach me? What am I missing something? We want to make the most out of every opportunity we have. That doesn't mean it's going to get easier. But it does mean we'll know him better in our soul. And the more we know him, the more we experience who he is, the more willing we will be to embrace whatever the next opportunity has for us. Once we start understanding the cycle, that what God is doing in our lives is multi-layered to the extent that if you try to figure it out, or if I try to figure it out, we're going to be so distracted and so caught up in the minutiae, the little things, are applying our own mind or emotions or will to something that is incomprehensible by our mind, will, and emotions. And that is spirit. if we learn instead to ask, Lord, I don't want to miss anything out of what's going on here. Please make it clear. Reveal yourself to me in this situation. I want to know. I want to learn. I want to change. I want to be changed. I want the most of this opportunity. And when we come with an open hand, an open heart, an open mind, that's when God can reveal and speak to us with clarity and correction and encouragement and direction, whatever we may need. Now, that all makes real sense on the surface, but as we start to experience, we all know that, okay, this is, and we call it the testing of our faith and all that. We have wonderful terms that describe difficult situations. When really what it is, as soon as you start making yourself available to God, the enemies of God will get involved. Now, you and I, as Christians, have already overcome two enemies because we are in the one who has overcome them. We are in Christ. And Christ, while he was here, overcame the world system. And he overcame the devil. Now, the world system is still here, and the devil is still here. But we have already overcome them spiritually and are learning how to do that both soulically and physically. The one enemy that Jesus did not overcome because he could not overcome it is the self-life, the flesh, that crutch that provides life to our soul without God. He couldn't overcome that because he never depended on his own strength. He had learned from the very beginning to depend on his Father, to be taught by his Father, to go to his Father first, last, and always. So he never developed flesh. You and I have developed flesh, and we continue to, unfortunately, develop flesh. And so that's something that we are also learning to overcome, and that area is often where we have the greatest struggle because it is so unique to each one of us. Now, in overcoming the world system and in overcoming the devil, we can share a lot of tactics. We have a lot of shared experiences. And there are general shared experiences in overcoming the flesh. But your flesh is unique to you because your temperament, your history, your life is unique to you. So that's a walk that you have to walk alone. And that's something God values greatly, is when we come to him and join him in, you know, what we release those areas of our soul where there are wounds, we allow him to heal them. We can't heal ourselves. We can't get rid of our flesh. We can't break our crutches. But we can join him and thank him and cooperate with him when he chooses the time to deal with any issue. This is one of the areas where Christians have really grabbed hold of that fundamental judgmentalism, where there's a behavior tag associated with being a Christian or being a person, where this is how you behave. This is right and this is wrong. And behaving correctly pleases God, and behaving incorrectly displeases him. And Christians, we, you and I, this is an area God wants to work on in us. Now, he may not be working on it in you right now. And this is the whole point, is whatever, and you may not even know what it is he's working on right now. You may be at a place where he's not putting his finger on anything right now. Now, don't interpret that as he's not doing anything. He does a lot of his greatest works without us even being aware of them. And then he lets us in at the last minute to join him in the final change. And sometimes we don't even know about wounds until he's ready to heal them. Sometimes he doesn't even show us the lies we believe or the history that's contributed to our believing those lies until he's ready to remove their influence. That doesn't mean there's not going to be pain involved. Very often there is. But that's a pain from healing, a cleansing, a cleaning out that wound so it can heal once and for all. To having that confidence that what God is doing in our lives, whether it seems negative or positive, is for our good because he loves us. Not because he needs us, not because he's obligated to, not because we've prayed right or said or done the right things or fasted or belonged to the right church or worshiped correctly or have a gift or a calling or an anointing. None of that. It's because he loves you. It's his nature to love you. He can't not love you. And that's true of everybody. He loves everybody. He loves everything. Because it's not about everybody. It's not about everything. It's about him. It is his nature to love, to give, to create, to be. And we just are there to receive everything he gives and is. So his desire is that we would be able to receive more and more and more, and to join him in not only receiving, but giving more and more and more. The more you have his nature, the more his nature is expressed to and through you, spirit, soul, and body. Again, you've got his nature in your spirit, but it is soaking into your soul and into your body. And as that happens, my goodness, it can't help but radiate to others. You may not even be aware of it. You may not know. And God may choose to show you, and he may choose not to. But the point is you will enjoy a relationship with God. He meets your needs spiritually. And the more that healing goes on in your soul, that life, the eternal life that you have right now, meets your needs in your soul and your body as well. Every day, God crafted for his purposes. He crafted it for everybody. This is not a competition. You don't need to be in the front row of God's concert to get one of his gifts, to get a word from him. There's no special location you need to be in. Your front row is inside. You have a permanent seat in him. You have eternal life. You have all the eternal life right now that you're ever going to get. When God, if we want to put it this way, when God looks at you, he does not see the wounds, the challenges, the lies that you believe, the wounds in your body. He does not see all those things and say, you know, look, we've got a long way to do. We're in progress. We're heading in the right direction. He's not a cheerleader or even a coach. He looks at you and he says, it's finished. Spiritually speaking, you are one in Christ. You are with him. You are in God. Spiritually, you have spirit, those same spiritual characteristics. When we talk about healing your wounds and revealing the lies and exposing them and overcoming them with truth, with a capital T, it's your spirit is joining with God. And I wonder sometimes if it isn't your spirit who is really doing the work on your soul. And it's one of those things. Where does our spirit and God's spirit end or begin? How to describe that? We can have confidence that because we know by experience that God loves us, what he is doing in our lives is because he loves us. His desire is that we be free to be spirit, soul, and body, one being. Then we would have eternal life, not just in our spirit, but also in our soul and also in our body. So we do discuss negative aspects because we have built up a fear or an avoidance of anything negative. We have this idea if something is going wrong in our life, we've missed God, or he's not pleased with us, or why does he allow evil to happen? We have this idea that enemy. God doesn't have any enemies. He created everything. He has no opposite. He has no equal. Think for a minute, Jesus on that cross, he had already overcome the world system. He had already overcome the devil. He was God incarnate. All Jesus had to do to get down off that cross was think it. He could have dissolved the earth with a thought, and he chose not to. So it's not from a point of weakness that we embrace our challenges, both the positive and the negative things that are happening in our lives. It's from a position of being joint heirs with that same Christ that we see this is going to be a tough thing to go through, knew Jesus was going to need encouragement. We have the illustrations of how God, how the Father chose to encourage the Son. He knew Jesus needed to know certain things. And so he sent certain events to happen in his life. We too need certain encouragements, certain corrections in our life, and God sends them our way. And the more we just embrace them as this is part of our purpose here on this earth, this is part of knowing him, not just as the bright, shiny God who gives good things, but as the best teacher we could possibly have, who is real and clear and just doesn't say yes all the time and give us what we want, but knows that what is best for us is both the blessings and the correction, the right hand and the left hand. Not even in balance, but according to the training that we are getting at any given time. So we let him reveal to us in his timing what he's doing in our life, what we do on a daily basis, and sometimes a moment-by-moment basis, is ask and be available to hear. Sometimes he may not be saying anything. We may want to, you know, Lord, why did this happen? What's going on here? This has thrown everything, you know, everything I thought you wanted to do is all gone now. What happened? And we think he's going to tell us. We think he should. And most of the time, it doesn't really matter what we think. God is not obligated to explain himself to you, to any of us. He's just not. He is the God. Now, your spirit knows everything that's happened and has agreed to it. And I said, yes, Lord, I see. This is going to be hard. This is not what I wanted. This is not what I thought you promised. But I know this is what's necessary for this time in my life. Sometimes things happen where we think there's nothing good that come out of it. And a lot of times when we look at it, nothing good does come out of it. And there are things that in our lives we just have to get through. If you ask, Lord, why did this happen? He is not obligated to tell you. We just say, yes, Lord, I know that this is something, for whatever reason, you decided was going to happen in my life. I accept that. Doesn't mean the pain goes away. It doesn't mean, it may not mean anything other than you are here on this earth and things happen. Give the Lord an opportunity to speak to you about these things. But if he doesn't have anything to say, don't read anything into that. It seems we've kind of gotten off track there, but I'm pretty sure somebody needs to hear that. Don't read into the circumstances in your life unless God tells you to. Things happen as part of this world system, as part of our being physical beings on this earth, and soulical beings that dwell in the supernatural realm. Things happen. And I hate to say it like this, but don't take it personal, even though it may be very personal. don't take it personally. God will give you the encouragement you need when you need it. Just sort of hang in there. He knows what you need. He will be there. And remember, you have agreed to this. This is not a punishment for lack or misunderstanding. Let him give you the counsel if you need it. Thanks for tuning in. We've run out of time, but it's always good to hear from you, and I appreciate you continuing to persevere and finding ways to get in touch with me. So thanks again for tuning in. We'll be getting back together again this time next week. This is Diane Thomas of Rainers Radio. Have a great rest of the weekend. Thanks.